Hello, and welcome to this episode of What's Wellness Podcast, a place where I discuss the physical, energetic, mental, emotional, and spiritual components of wellness, as well as your healthy relationships with yourself, with one another, and with the planet. I'm your host, Alia, founder of Alia Yoga and Alia Yoga Academy teacher training and mentorship programs. And I'm so excited to share with you the amazing interviews that I have in queue, many of which I conducted in the spring of 2021. For the sake of getting these to you, I'm going to hold off on long intros and haven't yet brought back wise words or warm words of the week, but hope to again when I have a bit more time to focus on the podcast. There are a few of you who contribute financially to this show now with a monthly donation of any amount that helped me tremendously so that I'm able to provide what I hope is inspirational and educational content here. To those of you who participate in Sunshine Yoga, my weekly live virtual donation-based vinyasa style practice, and to those who contribute donations to this podcast, I want to send an extra special thank you so very much for your support. There is a link in the show notes below to support this podcast with a small monthly donation that I would love for you to take a moment to look at and see if you're inspired to contribute. Now, for a brief word about Anchor and then the conversation portion of today's episode. Thank you so much for being here, and please stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to What's Wellness Podcast today. And I'm so excited to have a very special guest, Tracy, here from Declutter. And Tracy is an author of a very fascinating book called Making Space Clutter-Free, the last book on decluttering you'll ever need. What a great title. Hey, Tracy, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk about all this.
Me too. Always excited. So I'd love to ask you my first question, and then we'll dive into what you do and who you are. What's wellness look and feel like for you today?
Today I would say it's focusing on not letting my to-do list overtake my self-care. So to make sure that even though I have a lot to do this Monday, that I get time in for a workout, that I get time in for a dog hike, that I get to bed on a good time. So I guess I would say that wellness day looks like balance.
Love that. Aren't we always working towards more balance?
Always, always, always. Somebody once said to me that the key to happiness is time management.
Oh, I love that. I think that's true. So I think I intro'd you with a slight error, and I'd like to correct that. It's Declutterfly.
Exactly. So yeah, that's my company. It's called Declutterfly, and we are based in Los Angeles, but you know, we travel everywhere, and we're one of the oldest actual decluttering companies in the country. We sort of focus more on decluttering. We organize also. We do definitely all that, but our real focus is decluttering. So helping people let go of the stuff they don't need, want, or use, and to change their relationship to their stuff.
I love that. I need that both in my home and in my mind.
And they are very connected. They are very, very connected. So yeah, I just, I wrote this book, Making Space Clutter-Free, the last book on decluttering you'll ever need, after working with clients for over 13 years. I've been in the business for a long time. And what I saw over time was that people hit up against these blocks when it came to letting go of their stuff. They just kept kind of rewriting these stories about why they couldn't let go of what they didn't need. And I kept seeing it come up with my clients again and again and again. And then I identified them as what I call clutter blocks. So there are seven emotional clutter blocks. And there are these emotional stories we tell ourselves about why I possibly could not get rid of, you know, clothes I don't fit into anymore, or Legos from my kids who are grown, you know, all this stuff that clearly we don't need anymore, but we can't let go of.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those blocks? Can you share with us?
Absolutely. I love them. They range everything from clutter block number one, which is my stuff keeps me stuck in the past. So these are reminders of, you know, like I said, kids who have moved out of the house and grown up, but their rooms stay the same, or trophies from when you used to play a sport, or clothes you used to wear, or past relationships. These are the things that the way I describe it is they're the things that tell you your best days were behind you, that you don't have anything to look forward to. Another great one is clutter block number four, my fantasy stuff for my fantasy life. This is buying all the, like, somebody's like, you know what? I want to be a, you know, a knitter. I'm going to take up knitting. And so you go out and you buy all the stuff for knitting, and then you realize you don't like knitting, but you think like, I should be a knitter. You know, there's so much in our relationship to our stuff. There's so much should. Oh, I should be this kind of person. I should be a person who, you know, I mean, a great example is I should be a person who makes my own almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, that would be great, but some people don't have the time. I don't have the time or the inclination. It's not what I choose to do. So I purchase pre-made almond milk. Would it be better for the planet if I made my own? Probably, but some things you've got to give on. So, you know, it's really understanding that we don't have to do, we can't do everything. So it's holding on to stuff that you fantasize that you're going to become. Another great one, and this has been my favorite to talk, I've talked a lot about this in the pandemic, is clutter block number five, I'm not worth my good stuff. So this is, you know, not eating off of your nice china, not, you know, not wearing your nice clothes, not setting a nice table. And I just have kept reminding people through the pandemic that even if it's maybe just you eating, like, set a nice table, you deserve it. You're, you know, you're special. Every day is special. Celebrate it. I have a private Facebook group, and I'll tell people about it at the end. But my ladies all decided, a lot of the ladies in there posted all these pictures. And one week they all made their tea in the afternoon in their, you know, grandmother's or mother's teacup. So they all set a little tea set for themselves. And it was so special. So
I love that.
I know, you know, we're so, oh, I'll just grab a to-go coffee. And it's like, no, take a moment, right? Get a little cookie or kind of whatever you have your tea with and put it in a nice cup and celebrate the everyday. So that's a great one. I've really been encouraging, like, use your nice stuff, because I don't know, there's no guarantee that there's tomorrow.
True.
Right. So that's a great one. Another one that I'm seeing a lot right now is clutter block number six, trapped with other people's stuff. So this ranges from, you know, a friend, your old roommate moved out and you have her stuff in your garage and she's been gone for 10 years and you've all of a sudden become the keeper of her stuff. Or, you know, you're like, wait, you live in Bali now. Why do I have your stuff in my garage?
Will you ever come back for it? Do you need this anymore?
Exactly. It's very nice there. I'm thinking you're not coming back. Yeah. To people, you know, to inheriting things that people who have passed on, that someone who has left this plane, you become the keeper of their stuff. And it comes with a lot of guilt and a lot of memories. And it's very heavy. And, you know, what I tell people is, you know, the reason you're keeping the stuff from the people who have passed on is that you don't want to lose the connection you had to them. It's not about the stuff. It's you don't want to lose that. And I want people to keep the things that remind them and bring that person into their heart. But when it flips over and becomes a burden, when you're paying for a storage unit, you know, of your grandmother's or your parents' stuff that you don't even like, when your garage is full, that's when it's time to revisit it, to say like, is this working for me? Do I really need this? Can I still stay connected to the person that I loved without keeping all the stuff?
Amazing. So much clarity to some of the reasons behind why we wind up with so much clutter in our lives. So, Tracy, how did you get started? Were you ever someone with clutter, or you just have this really keen ability to organize and help other people declutter?
You know, it's interesting. My career my calling more than anything came out of my trauma. I'm the child of a hoarder. So my dad is an extreme hoarder, and I had a very, very chaotic childhood. So I was always trying to make order out of, you know,
chaos.
Exactly. So I started being a personal assistant, and I would do kind of extra jobs for people and say, your business went under. Let me come and help you organize your paperwork. Or, oh, you need a little help. Your grandma passed away. And so I didn't even know that it was like a real job. And I wasn't even charging people in the beginning. I just loved it and loved helping people. And then a friend of mine was like, I think you have a business. I think you should start charging people. And I was like, really? Okay. And then I started, you know, put a little price on it and kind of made a website. And that was 13 years ago. I now have a staff of 8 people working for me. And,
wow,
you know, it just blew up. So I always feel like I was called to this work to heal myself. And also that I have a point of view that a lot of people don't have. I see the struggle that people go through with their relationship to their stuff. And I see the hold that it has on people. And I have so much empathy. You know, so many clients say to me like, well, everyone just says, just throw it all away. And I'm like, well, if it was easy for you, you would have done that. So it may not be easy for you. And that's okay. That's okay. You know, if you didn't know how to play the piano and you wanted to learn how to play, you would take piano lessons. This doesn't come naturally to everybody, and that's okay. You know, there's so much shame around it. All of social media is just telling you that your clothes should be rainbow color coordinated, and your cabinet should look like this. And I just want people, my goal is I want people to feel happy and beautiful and stress-free in their own home, whatever that means to them.
I love that. I love your enthusiasm and and also your encouragement. I'm definitely someone who's spatially challenged, and to know that, you know, that's okay. And I can practice learning together with someone who can coach me along the way. That's huge.
Well, and if you think about it, it's kind of the same with yoga, right? That you hear people say like, oh, I can't take a yoga class. I'm not very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, that's exactly where you're supposed to go. You know,
exactly.
Like those are not the people who need it the most, but those are people who can absolutely benefit from it. And I feel the same way. It's like, oh, well, I need to get organized before I can work with an organizer. It's like, no, I'm your coach. I'm here to help you. So I really want to take the shame out of it. And I want people to understand that it's my work and my book, Making Space Clutter-Free, is to encourage people to have the home that they want. I want their home to support them and, you know, get them out the door in the best possible way. And that it's not about you're doing it wrong or you should be doing it better. It's you should be doing it for you. And I think that in the conversation around organizing, that piece is really missing. You know, everyone, it's very much about it should be like this and it should look like this. It's like, no. It should work like this for you.
Yeah. Wow. And what a great parallel between clutter and learning how to let go and create space, and also with starting a yoga practice. Like, you don't have to be able to touch your toes when you begin. Like, that's not a prerequisite.
Absolutely not. And I thought, you know, and I've practiced yoga for a long time, and I always think about that word, right? That it's a practice, that there's no end game, right? You don't get to a point in yoga and you go, ta-da, I'm done. You know, that it's
exactly.
And it's the same with stuff in our homes. It's not, you don't get organized and then you're done. It's a constant, your life changes, you get a partner, you get divorced, you have kids, the kids grow up, you know, it's so fluid and you know, your needs at the time change. And so that's what I want people to understand, that it's a constant process. And some days we're better than others. And some days we need a little bit of support. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So I love the idea of, you know, calling it a practice.
Love it. So walk us through, if you can briefly, when you take on a new client and you or a staff member go into their space, where do you start?
So I start, and sometimes people are like, what? Uh-huh. I like to start with, what's your vision for your space? What do you want to create? What do you want this space to be? So I start a little different than everybody else. I start with, what's your vision for your space? What do you want to create? Do you want to empty that spare room that's full of all that stuff so that someone can come visit? Do you want to get your house on the market so that you can sell it? Do you just want empty space? Mm. So I always start with the vision of what people want, because it's so much easier to work towards a goal that you want than to work away from what you feel you're doing badly.
Right.
Right. Like, it's so hard to be like, oh, I don't, you know, I can't touch my toes. I can't touch my toes. I can't touch my toes. Or, ooh, I got a quarter of an inch today. I'm going to try and get a little bit further the next day. I'm going to practice every morning, you know, bending over and touching my toes and working towards that. It's so much easier. So I always start with the vision of where we're going. And then when things get hard or things get emotional, we have something to go back to. Right? So right. Let's take a walk. Let's go outside. Let's have a cup of tea and let's get back to why we're doing this. And, you know, and then from there we come up with a plan, and it's, you know, good old fashioned hard work, sorting like with like, making decisions about what leaves and what stays, and then how it gets put back organized. You know, and the funny thing is, my goal is to eventually get everybody to a place where they don't need me, which seems like a terrible business model, but.
Right. But the intention behind that is so beautiful.
Yeah, I love it. So, so it's, you know, when we adjust to what every person needs. We work with a lot of seniors. We do a lot of senior downsizing. So helping people move out of their lifelong homes into smaller spaces, which is some of my favorite work, because you get to learn about a person's life, you know, you get to see their whole journey. So it's always interesting and always, always fascinating and always emotional, you know, people share. So I feel very lucky that I get to learn people's stories.
Oh, that's amazing. And I bet they feel so comfortable working with you because of your compassion and understanding and also encouragement and support. It just seems like people are really able to not only let go of things physically, but also process emotionally.
Yeah, it's there, you know, my staff always jokes that it's not a declutterfly job until somebody cries.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's me. I tend to be the first one to shed some tears.
Oh, that's so sweet. What types of things do you suggest people donate versus throw away?
Ooh, this is such a tough question, because I hate that things end up in the landfill. Yeah. It just keeps me up at night. So one of the things that I talk to people a lot is to really think about your consumption, right? If you're trying to live a more decluttered life, you also have to take into the component about how much are you bringing into your house. So that's a good start. Like, you know, I always tell people to start with, you know, you hear somebody say like, I need a new pair of jeans, or I need a something. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, do you really need it or do you want it? That was very different.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so once you sort of go like, oh, I actually just want it and maybe I could live without it. So in terms of donating versus landfill, I go pretty fine grain. Like we donate old sheets, you know, we'll go through all our client stuff. So we donate old sheets and towels to the animal shelter.
Mm.
We have a craft nonprofit that like a store that sells crafting goods, and then they raise money for a bunch of different organizations. So we donate all the crafting stuff there. We donate clothes. You know, we even take stained and old clothes and donate them to a fabric recycling place. So we go really deep down.
I love that.
Yeah. But I will say this for people who have, I like to call them my eco warriors.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes people will hold on to stuff because they want to keep it out of the landfill, right? They're like, I don't want to throw this away. But what happens is that they make their home a landfill, right? That they keep the trash in their home. So unfortunately, you know, there's some stuff that just has to get thrown away. So, you know, I hope that the work will become about we get together and sort of make some systematic changes about how we recycle in this country. But that's a bigger conversation.
Right.
You know, so just, true. And you know, it's also, I tell people in terms of donating stuff that as opposed to just going to the bigger thrift donation stores, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of everybody's involved in these fantastic buy nothing groups. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know. So if you have something, throw it up there. Like the tax donation that you're going to get is pretty insignificant. And if your concern is keeping it out of a landfill, throw an item up on your buy nothing group and somebody's going to take it. Those have been fantastic for keeping things out of the landfill. I love those groups.
Oh, that's such a great suggestion. And ultimately passing on something that maybe you're no longer using, but someone else could really utilize and also help them save some money.
Ollie, I have this great story. I have my Facebook group. There was one of the women in the Facebook group had an old stove, a vintage stove, and she had a broiler pan. And she was like, I don't eat meat. I haven't used it in 12 years. I don't know what, it's like this piece of equipment right. that goes with the stove. I feel terrible. I'm not going to move. You know, I'll probably live my life out in this house. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And we're all like, well, you've got to let it go.
Right.
You know, and she posted a picture of it. And one of the other women in the group was like, wait, I have that exact stove. Wait. So it was so cute. She mailed the broiler pan from Colorado to Los Angeles. And the other lady got the broiler pan for her stove. So I really, I always tell people like, trust that the person who needs what you're letting go of will find it. Trust. Mm.
Amazing.
They always do. They always do.
That's such a great story. I love that. Like full circle.
I know. It's so cute. And you just really, you know, I have another example. This is in my book from my personal life. I broke up with my longtime partner years ago. And I did that, you know, that thing when you break up and you get super, super skinny. And you think like, oh, this is, you know, and it's that, I always joke that, you know, it's that kind of skinny. It's not like, oh, just give up bread and you'll get that. It was like divorce skinny. Like you'd have to marry me and divorce me all over again to get that skinny. So I bought a very expensive pair of pants in that time. And, you know, the minute I got a good night's sleep and like ate a salad, I could never get in those pants again. So I hung on to them and I hung on to them and they just made me feel bad. I was like, oh, I paid too much money for them. You know, they were reminding me of the relationship, right? My stuff keeps me stuck in the past. You know, my fantasy stuff for my fantasy life. I'm going to get that skinny again. Finally, I was like, I have to just let these pants go. Just let them go. So I put up I made a bag of clothes and I take them to a shelter, an organization that works with getting homeless teens off the street. Dropped it off, went on my way. And the place is pretty close to me. And about 2 weeks later, I saw this young woman in my pants. They were very specific pants. I was like, oh, look at that. And she was going to her job at our local yogurt place. And I was like, oh, that's so great. And I know the head of donations. So I called her up. I said, "That's so funny. I saw this young woman in my pants, blah, blah, blah." She was going, "You know, that's so great. Looks like she was going to work." She said, "Oh yeah, she's a great client of ours. You know, she's getting her GED. She's got a job. You know, she's had, she was sex trafficked since the age of 10. And I was like, and for me, it was like such a wrestle. Oh, do I keep the pants? Do I let go of them? And if I had known her story, I would have given her half my closet, right? Like right. What that young woman had been through. So trust that what you're letting go of is going to help someone in a way you'll never know, right? You'll just trust that someone is going to be in a place where they need what you're letting go of and it's going to help them. And if you can get that in your head, it makes letting go so much easier.
That is such a powerful message.
You know, we hold on so tight. And, if we know that, it's going to help somebody, then it just makes it so just everybody trust. I could tell you story after story after story about that. So, I love this question about how do you keep things out of the landfill?
Right. It's so important because everything right now is, looking at the planet and we're seeing masks on the ground and in the ocean and plastic everywhere. And I talk about, when you see plastic outside, can you pick it up and put it in the proper bin if it's to be recycled or thrown away? And now with COVID, there's this, do I pick it up? Do I touch that? Has someone's mouth been on that water bottle? And I tell myself, you know what? It's worth picking up this plastic water bottle or Gatorade or whatever it is. And I just tell myself, do not touch your face until you wash your hands.
Exactly. And just, and I'm actually in the middle of writing my second book. And the second book is about why we consume, why we buy, what we're trying to fill in ourselves by this consumer culture and, what we think. And I always tell people clients always say to me, I don't know how my house got like this. And I'm like, well, you brought it in. It didn't walk in here on its own 2 feet. Like we really need to, if we're living a mindful life, be really conscious of what we're bringing into our home. And, the thing that people will say it, but sometimes they don't make the correlation, is that clutter is so stressful. Scientists have done so many studies on how clutter raises your stress, clutter in your home, especially in women. There's a direct correlation between clutter in your house and jacking your cortisol up. They've done it time and time again. Yeah, because if you think about it, we only have so much brain processing. And so if there's stuff everywhere, every little thing is a decision. Every little thing is, where do I move that? Where do I put that? It's no coincidence that spas and yoga studios have very little stuff in them. So, more than just how do I want my house to be, it has an effect on your physical well-being and your mental health. They did a really fascinating study. They put people, I'm going to get the exact details wrong. It's in the book. But they put people in a cluttered kitchen and they offered them a cookie and a carrot. And the majority of the people in the cluttered kitchen took the cookie. Huh. They put another group in an uncluttered kitchen and offered them a cookie and a carrot. And the majority of people took the carrot.
What? Wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
Fascinating.
Right. And so if you think about, in your wellness journey, if you want it, I hate to say that word, like eat better, because, we eat to nourish. I don't want to put judgment on it. But if your kitchen is cluttered, if you've got stuff all over the counters and, it's really hard to get to your equipment, you're going to be more likely to go and get takeout than you are to cook yourself a really nourishing meal. So there's a direct correlation to our wellness and clutter.
Wow, that makes so much sense. Thank you for sharing about that, bridging the gap and making that parallel. That's huge.
And people just don't, I'm sure you must talk about sleep on here all the time. Mm-hmm. I go into so many people's homes and I see their beds stacked high with dirty clothes or clothes for the next day. And every night they've got to clear the clothes off to get into bed, or they sleep among the clothes, you know, and I'm like, you're not getting your best night's sleep. Like, putting your clothes away isn't about having a perfect closet so you can put it on Pinterest. It's so you can crawl into your bed after a long day and rest yourself and then wake up in the morning and not see piles of clothes. Like, I want you to get your best night's sleep. But if you're sort of stepping over piles of dirty clothes in your room, that's not going to support that.
Truly. Absolutely. I'm someone who... it took me a long time, but finally, as an adult, I make my bed every morning.
I know. Isn't it a funny one? It's such a funny, simple thing, but it, you know, there's all these theories about if you have insomnia, that if you crawl in bed at night in a made bed, it's one of the signalers to yourself that the, you know, you're powering down to go to sleep. And then it also says that the first task that you've set for yourself in the day, you've accomplished. So yeah. You start your day like, look at me, made my bed.
It is a really good feeling. Like, I used to laugh at my mom because she liked to get into a bed that was made. And I thought that was so silly. You're just going to unmake it. And now I totally get that. I get it in my body.
Right? Like, you crawl in between those sheets and there's something in your brain that just says, okay, it's time to power down. It's time to go to sleep now.
Exactly.
So yeah, I know that's a big one I talk about. It doesn't always happen over at my house. The universe has played a cosmic joke and handed me my great love, and he is very messy. So, so we are navigating that. He's not dirty, yeah. But he's just a little messy. So we're sort of navigating compromise a lot over here.
So funny how that works.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So I want to ask you, Tracy, about One Kid, One World. You're a co-executive director of this nonprofit. And from what I've read, it's really making a difference in girls' lives in Central America and Kenya.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's so interesting that actually my business was born on my first trip to Kenya. My friend, one of my dearest friends, who's other co-executive director, He was the one who said, like, I think you have a business. We were like on a dusty road to Kenya. So both these organizations came at the same time. But
wow.
Yeah, we're focused on, we build schools. But we do it a little bit differently. We don't build a school. We don't go and decide where a school needs to be. We go into communities that have schools that are struggling to stay open. So we work in partnership with the school, with the community, to say, all right, you have kids coming here. Let's get you classrooms, desks, books. We pay teacher salaries. We pay nurses' salaries. We build dorms in Kenya, especially the issue of safety for young women. So we build dorms so that the girls can go to school there. And another big, big project of ours, and this one's been really big during the pandemic, is we provide feminine hygiene. So I think over the last 6 months, we got 10 that we provided access to feminine hygiene, I think, for about 5,000 girls in Kenya.
Wow.
So, you know, and as you all know, that access to feminine hygiene keeps a lot of girls out of school. You know, they don't go to school if they don't have pads, they're embarrassed. Yeah. So we really found that helping them have access to that was keeping girls in school. And then, you know, the same work in Central America. We've built, I think, 12 12 or 13 schools in Nicaragua, El Salvador, and Guatemala.
Incredible.
Yeah. We try very hard to partner with schools that have at least a 50% female student body and a 50% teachers. That one we don't have as much control over, but we really feel like we want to give girls access to school.
Yes, so much yes. And I've thought about this with regards to, let's say, the homeless population with not having access to feminine hygiene products. But this kind of gap between what's going on in our country versus what's going on globally around the world. To think that young girls can't go to school when they're on their monthly cycle because they don't have access to feminine hygiene products. Like, we as a global community can all be making a difference in that. And you are.
Here's a great decluttering tip that ties into this exact conversation.
Awesome.
Take a purse or a backpack or, you know, a shopping bag, a reusable shopping bag you don't need. Fill it with some feminine hygiene, maybe some body wash or soap that you don't use anymore. Like, kind of put together a personal care kit. Leave it in your car. And within 2 or 3 days, you will come across a homeless woman that can use that stuff.
I love it.
You know, we've done that. I do that with clients all the time. And I take it in my car and, you know, I've stopped at stoplights and, you know, just put like just some basics, some granola bars, some, you know, feminine hygiene stuff, just really simple stuff. And that way you'll clear it out of your house and it'll go directly to somebody who needs it.
That speaks right to my heart, Tracy. I have such a heart for service and I keep a little bit of cash in my car, but I'm always thinking, you know, when I hand out cash to people, I hope they go buy food or buy water. You don't have any control over how they spend that money. So I've started putting water bottles and, like you said, granola bars. I never thought of having pads or tampons, toothbrush, you know, hygiene products available with me to hand out to homeless people. That is brilliant.
Yeah, it's really something that you never think about. But as you're decluttering, you're like, oh, I got all these toothbrushes from my dentist and I don't like them, you know, or those little small toothpaste. Like, just make a little bag and keep it in your car and keeps it out of the, you know, keeps it out of the landfill and help somebody immediately.
Awesome. What a great tip. Any other quick tips that you'd like to offer us?
I'm going to say, because I think people are going to start to get overwhelmed pretty soon as we start to kind of reopen and, right, you know, our life changes a little bit. So I want to tell people that if you want to start decluttering, right, as we're getting open back up, start small. Right? Okay. Don't think you're going to get your whole house done in, you know, one weekend. Start small. Do one drawer, do one shelf in a closet. Have a plan, work through it, but start small. Because what I want you to do is build on your successes. I want you to not get frustrated and just leave it all. I want you to build on your successes. You know, again, we'll go back to this. It's not unlike your yoga practice, right? Like, to eventually bend over and touch your toes, you got to bend over first,
yes,
right? So I want people to just start small and go easy on themselves.
Great. Thank you. That's awesome. Well, I have had a perma smile. I love your energy and talking to you. I'd love for you to share about how people can find and order your book and work with you. And also, do you accept donations for One Kid, One World? How can people get involved?
Sure. So the book is called Making Space Clutter-Free, the last book on decluttering you'll ever need. I like to send people to bookshop.org to buy from local independent booksellers. It's available on Kindle. The audiobook is out there, so it's very easy to find. I'm pretty big on Instagram, so that's at Tracy_McCubbin, McCubbin. I'm very active there. And I have a private Facebook group called Conquer Your Clutter with Tracy McCubbin. We meet, I go live every Wednesday night. This week we're going to talk about clothes. It's a loving, supportive group of amazing people who are working their way through this. It's really, really positive. So if you feel like you need a community that understands you, I welcome you to come over. And then onekidoneworld.org, we're always taking donations. We're, you know, really gearing up. Right now we're working on a project of getting broadband to our students in Central America so they can continue going to school. So I loved being on here. I loved meeting you. I loved connecting with your community. And don't be surprised if I show up to one of your yoga classes down in Encinitas one day.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much, Tracy. I'll have all of those links available for easy navigation in the show notes. You are delightful. You're a bundle of energy and knowledge, but also inspiration. And I feel motivated to tackle a drawer and donate and get rid of some clutter.
Yay! Yay!
Thank you so much for your time today, Tracy.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's interview, and although the format for this episode was a little bit different than what you may have been used to in the past, I'm just so pleased to finally release this interview and hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, feedback, or requests, please email me. Alia@aliayoga.com, spelled A-H-L-I-A. Please be sure to follow along on Instagram with me at What's Wellness Podcast and at Alia Yoga. You can tune in to audio recordings of my classes through my other podcast, simply called Alia Yoga, and purchase the video recordings from my website, which is, you guessed it, aliayoga.com/shop. Thank you once again for tuning in today. Be kind to yourselves and to one another, and have a wonderful rest of your day and rest of your week. Until next time, be well.